Live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Now, see the world on kaya959.
On the street, on the air.
The fact that we are a diverse nation in people, in landscape, in climate, agriculture, all of that. It just makes our country that much more beautiful. The drawback to being so beautiful, in fact, is that sometimes you attract undesired attention. More attention than you'd actually want. So if you look at traditionally beautiful places, look at Hawaii, for example, right? The native people of Hawaii got driven out of there because it's so beautiful.
Mm.
You know? If you look at Australia, Aboriginal people there got driven away because of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And in South Africa, I've got no shame in saying South Africa is the best country on the continent, one of the best in the world. To live in, it's the best bar none.
Mm-hmm.
When you consider everything, including purchasing power parity.
Yes.
So what you can afford and how far your money can go.
Mm-hmm.
It's still easier to make 18 rand than it is to make a dollar.
Mm.
Now, what happens is Americans come here, or anybody actually from a more prominent country, because even people from Europe come here, they realize how good things are and how well things work. You can drink water straight out the tap, start to live here. They buy property here. You go to Cape Town, you see what's happening. What can we do to curb that? Should we do anything to curb that? Or should we just accept the fact that we are going to be that nation that people flock to? I mean, if you look at Mauritius, if you go to Mauritius, mostly are foreign people.
Mm. Is there anything we can do about possible gentrification?
We can definitely legislate.
We can
legislate about land ownership. People can come through. I don't mind you coming to visit.
Mm.
But now, Saul says we have to. The problem is, let them legislate and say no foreigners must own property in Cape Town. Who's going to buy the property in Cape Town? Can you afford a 160 million rand house?
It's going to drop. The price will definitely drop. Remember, you drop the demand.
It won't.
You drop the demand.
It will not.
The demand won't drop, but you'd need to lower the prices for South Africans to be able to afford.
All that's going to affect is going to affect maybe the rental markets, because that's short term.
Mm-hmm.
Long term, nobody's going to sell their house in Fresno for anything less than what they invested in.
I hear you. But then at the same time, if perhaps you legislate in a way that people are forced to have two prices.
like a local price.
But it doesn't work like that. What's going to happen is, even me as a buyer or a seller even, I'm going to prioritize a higher price.
Of course.
So if Mpo comes here and she offers her 10 rand backed by government subsidy because she's South African, and Saul comes here and he's offering me 20 rand because he's coming from Europe, I'm going with Saul all day, every day.
Yeah.
And that's why then we are disadvantaged. We live in a country where a lot of people are poor. We're still a third world country.
Mm.
And when all these first world people come and they buy property and then they make property prices go up, it disadvantages us. And our government should be there to protect us, especially the most vulnerable and the weakest in the country. Not everybody is like Cecil, can compete with an American for a house in Sandhurst or in Kemp's Bay.
Mm. Yes, but nobody's disagreeing with that. You see, that's the thing. People say that. I don't think anybody here disagrees with what you're saying.
Mm.
What I'm saying is, how feasible is it and how can it be done?
But whether it's feasible or not, it has to be done. Because gentrification, as you say, starts out small and with everybody watching it happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that just happens overnight. So while you are watching it happen, because now we've got so many TikTok pages and YouTube pages actually encouraging people from other countries to come to South Africa on the strength of their currencies. So if you are watching this happening and you're not doing anything about it, we're not just going to be fighting with fellow Africans as people already are. We're now going to be fighting with people who are deep in the pocket. And when I say deep in the pocket, I mean very deep in the pocket.
Do you know that gentrification happens everywhere?
Even
in the U.S. it happens.
Yeah.
Quite a bang out in the U.S. So the first time I went to the U.S. was 2004, I think. And I remember in Manhattan, everything was big. Cameron had that song, right?
Yeah.
So doing big things,
mm-hmm.
very vibey.
Mm-hmm.
But then, literally maybe 15 minutes down the road, Flatbush Avenue in Brooklyn, everybody's like, yo, don't go there, right?
Yeah.
Don't go there, you're going to get robbed.
Yeah.
Now, if you go to Brooklyn and see what Brooklyn is, come on, white people live in Brooklyn now.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So it happens. Wherever there's inequality, people move in and take advantage. Downtown, for example, Seoul, where you used to live, they tried this before. It failed because, obviously, just COVID and all those things. They're going to try again now and rehabilitate downtown and make it the new Cosmo hub. The people that moved out of downtown because it was dangerous, understandably so, there are buildings you can get downtown. You can get an entire building
proper.
For like maybe 2 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
An entire building. Gentrification happens everywhere. And that's just it. So you find, you say no foreigners can come, then it's going to be white people that come. From here. Or rich people that come.
I would rather white people be the ones that are owning stuff than people that have so much money that we cannot even begin to compete.
The problem is inequality.
Yeah.
And it always comes down to this. Every discussion we have here, it comes down to inequality and it comes down to our economy being lopsided. Because if everybody could afford a decent standard of living, then everybody would be living in a home that they are okay with.
Exactly.
And they wouldn't care who their neighbor is, actually.
Sure.
Your neighbor could be green, sure. Purple, yellow, from South Africa, from overseas. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't care. The problem is now you living in squalor and somebody else is living luxuriously because, obviously, you're purchasing power parity. They're coming with the dollar. The dollar's going far.
I mean, as it is, when you're flying into Cape Town, hey, what you see is very interesting.
I think you'd have to get creative with the solutions. Maybe you'd have, for example, you were saying, Paul, maybe we have white South Africans living in those, the rich ones, living in those expensive homes in Cape Town.
Yeah.
But then you'd have to creatively find a solution where to deal with the inequality, they'd have to have some sort of social responsibility. Like maybe when you purchase that kind of a house, you need to do so and so to him. Exactly.
So what they usually do is they've got what's called mixed income housing, right? So because if you have somebody or community like that, there's still people that work in those houses.
Mm-hmm.
And those people can't live too far. You can't have those people traveling 45 minutes to get to and from work.
Yeah.
So they must have homes lapa in that area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem is people that are affluent, and I'm not just going to say white people because black people say this as well.
Yes.
They then complain about property values going down if you're going to have mixed income housing.
But you
if your house is 20 million, for example, and then right next door, Konikopi.
But you need that mixed income accommodation Shandis. Because whether you like it or not, somebody has to service your home. Where must they come from? Unless you're going to accommodate them within your household.
And this is where we are now. This is where I want to ask you the question.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very easy to advocate for those things until they directly affect you.
Of course.
Where you live.
Yeah.
With the house that you built and however much it cost you. If we told you, Uti, we're going to have low-cost housing right next to you now, are you okay with it?
Low-cost
enough that people can afford.
That needs to be the discussion.
Low-cost that people can afford. RDP.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm easy.
How?
I'm
saying it's magic.
I'm not
going to lie. You know what I'm saying it's
magic.
When I put out says, Ian, why are you not coming down?
I'm saying how low-cost, because there's low-cost housing that is
enough that your helper can afford to live there, Pelangit. That's how low cost.
You know, it's fine. Live in my home and forget everything.
No RDP.
It was a shout.
Definitely need to amend such things because you'd find people, some of them are working for government and they are told you earn too much to apply for RDP, but you don't qualify to buy a house. So there is a gap, a huge, huge gap when it comes to such things. And I think that's where the change needs to come in.
Mm. We had Linda Wood on the line. I see he's just dropped.
No, kuzomele vele sisibavalele ngaphandle labantu ababuya eAmerica naseEurope abanemali. Where imali yabo has got a power than le yethu. Because vele ekugcineni bazosikhipha. Khona manje Cape Town, abanye bethu mawuthiyabheka indaba yokuhlala khona. It's very expensive izindlu. And usuyabona ukuthi we are already kicked out of that market or even of buying a house there. So, mele sibavimbele abantu because from a Cape Town bangeze eJoburg. And then nakhona eJoburg isiphume kancane kancane KZN, it's a problem. Abavalelwe ngaphandle.
Linda Kuhle in 30 seconds.
Hi, Suze. You know, the low-income houses are a mess. I live in Cape Town, and the houses that they build as low-income houses are pretty much RDPs, but you pay like an exorbitant price for that. Like, you buy a small box of matches for like 700,000. It doesn't make sense. It's like there's a mandate to say build this small match box for these people, and let's say it's low-income houses, but there's no low-income there because you still have to pay that money at the end of the day.
Thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Linda Wuhle. And you know, she raises another point, by the way, which is, you see, inequality is a source of risk. If we live on the streets and we're all rich, for example, then it'll be fine. The likelihood of one of us robbing another is relatively low because we all have, right? But once you start to introduce people that are in a different income bracket to that community, now the risk increases.
Eat the rich.
You see? Hey, man. Kuningi. And we're still going to see because it's only going to get worse with time.
So I stayed in Pune in India a couple of years back. And the areas, they are quite mixed. There you find a mansion and then you find a one bedroom next to it. It's quite interesting. I don't know how they manage it. I don't think it works here.
Also, let's keep it like a buck. India's a dump, bro. Like, even the most affluent places in India are still dirty. It's horrible.
It's like Nigeria. I remember when Burna Boy was showing his house and you're like, hey, man, why is it so dusty here?
Come on, bro. I got you, but India. Horrible. I would never want to live like that.
Good morning, Seize the World. I really think we need to regulate almost everything, not only about property ownership, especially the tourism industry. You will find Americans that own tourism companies bringing their American friends to see South Africa. There's a YouTube channel called The Real South Africa. Those are Americans that own a tourism company, and they bring their Americans here in South Africa, showing them South Africa. I mean, like, guys, in Italy, like, you can't be a tour guide unless you are from Italy. Why are people outside of South Africa allowed to even take over the tourism industry, be tour guides, own tourism companies? No, we need to regulate. We really need to regulate.
So my two cents on this topic is, I think legislation should be changed so that it protects the natives. So the law has to protect us South Africans to still enable South Africans to be able to buy property, those that can afford, you know, to be able to buy that property. But then if people are coming from overseas, America, Europe, Russians, Italians, like, it's a lot in Cape Town. They are buying buildings and renovating them and shooting up the rental prices, which is outpricing working class, not even the poorer people. Now, umdufuneke ehlale in Bellville, in Graaffontein, and travel to Cape Town CBD every day back and forth, just because the rental prices downtown are incredibly expensive compared to outside of the city.
I can tell you one thing. Yes, it boils down to inequality, but then central to this, let's look at how natives were dispossessed, especially in Cape Town. You have Bokap, you know. We know the story of Bokap, District 6 there. The government is failing to restore people and give people their great-grandmother's land. So instead, they want to opt to selling the land to conglomerates like Yabo Amazon, who wants to build data center. A court case even went to I think it was in one of the highest courts in the land. So if government is not stepping in to do the right thing, I guess as citizens, we don't have that much power. We can only protest and protest up until the will of the government is straight to what we demand as the people of South Africa. Because ultimately, South Africa is not for foreigners, it's for South Africans.
Hi, family. Sizwe. Izwe kala la taiswa nkosi yami. All these people will come to our country. They were already given the land. Asazi ukuthi mabahamba baya ngaphandle bathi baya kula ma meeting basuke bayokwenza. Mhlawumbe basuke bayodayisa. So nje asiyirini ukuyiqaka sisazohlala singa afford nje. That's my take.
Hey, Hey, Gunin.
Why, Namshim? No, Antizi. I remember in Midrand a couple of years ago, but then by country view, then they started having like squatter people living there, babega matend and stuff. Did the people not come up in arms and be like, hey, this is how our squatter camps begin? And I think it took like a week or two or so. They were removed, shame, like, you know. But I know, guys. Name, I agree. I'm not coming. Hey, Maserati, Lucas, next door. It's not going to work. Don't ask me why. It's just not
going to
work.
Bakoge, I proved my point.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.